Hey there everybody, Travis Smith here. If you've ever felt like the internet is passing you or your business by, then you are not alone. It's okay. In this interview, I'm going to help you overcome that reality. And my guest and I share the two most common mistakes that small businesses are making that are, you know, keeping them stuck in the past while opportunity on the internet just seems to be flying by. My guest is Jamie Stevens, and he's highly qualified to talk on the topic because not only has he been a developer on the internet for like the last 10 years, he's also the founder of Booked, which is an online booking application that's very quickly receiving national press and attention. And you're going to discover really quickly how much knowledge Jamie has of the web. It's very far reaching. Jamie and I get asked questions a lot by small business owners because we do this for a living, because we develop business online. And people are always asking us, how do you do it? What's the big secret? So we decided to do this interview and hopefully help some people begin to get their arms around this problem and get up to speed with what's going on online. And I've got some other really cool things coming too. So I've got an interview with Tony Marrero coming up, the founder of SoccerPro.com. I have an interview with Brant Bukowski, who started three businesses from scratch, all online, that have received Inc. 500's fastest growing award. And I've got some really cool training videos and some reports that I'm going to give you. And the first one's ready now. It's how to measure demand online. And if you will leave me a question in the form on this page, I'll give you immediate access to that video. I'll notify you when the new interviews with Brant and Tony come out. And I'll give you reports that I, you know, as I get them done, I'll send those to you as well. So leave me a question. If you've been struggling with the internet and how to use it better, or how to even get started, you're in the right place. We're here to help you. So we'll talk soon. Hope you enjoy the interview. Hey everybody, Travis Smith here, and today I have a really cool guest and friend, Jamie Stevens. Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks, Travis.
Jamie and I both live in Columbia, Missouri, and we're talking today about internet marketing and how local and small businesses alike can use the web to get new customers and make more money online. And so a lot of small businesses have questions and there's some confusion around this topic, and since Jamie and I do this for a living, we don't always have the time or the tools to help, so that's why we're doing this interview. So today in this interview we're going to talk about two things, the biggest mistakes that we see folks and businesses making when they try and take their business online, try mm-hmm. and take their marketing online, is that right?
That's right.
So there's a handful of things, but there are some that are more common and probably more damaging.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, though, let's talk a little bit about what we've done in the online marketing world. So if you don't mind, just tell the listeners how you got into this.
My background's in software development. I've been doing software development for over 10 years now, and I've worked on systems for large companies, universities, small companies, nonprofits, just individuals. So I've kind of run the whole gamut on a lot of the software I've developed. But so I started off doing at a small consulting company. We built a large an educational product that that's now become the number one electronic portfolio system at colleges and universities across the country. In 2005, I went to the University of Missouri and helped found the Center for e-Research and was the IT manager there for 2 years, where we did projects on promoting collaboration on internet-based research across both the campus as well as the entire university system. And then in 2007, I started at my own consulting company where I help other businesses with their online marketing on their software projects, work with both their marketing team and their tech team to help bridge that the gap between those teams, as well as have done some software projects on my own. That's how I. That's a little bit of my history and kind of how I got into this.
You actually went to school for web development or programming?
Yeah, you know, originally I went to school for classical languages.
That's quite a transition.
Yeah, it was. I graduated with a degree in classical languages, an emphasis in Greek, minor in philosophy, and there weren't many jobs for philosophy shops, or my Greek store didn't go very well. And so I decided that maybe I need to focus on something a little more current. So I did get a computer science degree after that. And
So you went from two opposite extremes, classic,
yep,
to modern day cutting edge.
That's right.
Nothing in between for you.
I went to from a completely dead language to a completely different kind of language.
So you're a language expert.
I'm a linguist in every sense.
That's right. That's pretty cool. I never made that connection, but that's very true. By the way, we're sitting here in a really cool building in Columbia, Missouri. I should know the name of it. What is it?
It is Faith Street Loft.
Yeah, really cool place, which is where your office is. And so if you're listening to this and it sounds like we're in a reverb tank, we kind of are.
It's
a big open room with really cool stained concrete floors and brick walls, but nothing to absorb the sound.
We're sitting on the floor of what was originally a mule barn.
That's right.
And it has the high windows to prove it, as well as a couple dozen Amish pillars that were made by an Amish community just north of here, and they're just
by hand, yeah,
handmade pillars that are just beautiful and
cool. Yeah, really cool.
But lots of space, and so
also lots of reverb,
lots of echo.
Anyway, with that experience and being a programmer, you're obviously savvy online. Did you start out in the very beginning with kind of this vision of where you would be today and your online experience and expertise? Did you know where things were headed? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I really know. Not at all. Yeah. Not at all. I originally got involved with programming from the, like as I said, from the software development aspect and got into project management and so forth. But my passion about software became more the way that it interfaces with people and the way that people use the software and the benefits they get out of it. And a lot of that has to do not just with using the software itself and the productivity and the benefits they get from that, but just the entire experience around it. How do they come upon the software? How do you sell the software to them? How do they understand and perceive that software before they even start using it? When I'm talking with colleges and universities about the portfolio system that we built, there's a lot of relationship building that had to go on before we even start talking about the specifics of the software. And then once we get into it, we've got to continue to bring them in and sell them on it. Now that I work with other companies on selling, either they're helping them sell their services or helping them sell their products, it's really the same thing. The joy is not in a lot of times in the software itself. It's in helping customers make connections with the company that they're buying from and helping that company reach out and connect with the customers that they're selling to. And it ends up being these relationships that really last over time that benefit both.
Wow.
And that's really where a lot of the joy of it has come.
And that's actually a really good segue into what we're talking about today, because the internet, unlike anything in the history of man, has connected people together and made developing relationships with people and your customers and little niches in the world and tribes. It's offered such scalability and leverage that we've never known before. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Yeah. So, I think that's the big appeal for businesses, really.
Mm-hmm.
Is the scalability and leverage.
Well, it's the first time in the internet's the first time in history that that we have had a communication tool that has been both personal and on a mass media, personal and broadcast at the same time. We've had books and newspapers ever since the printing press, that could be mass media, but they're only one-way communication.
Right, right.
And then you have tools like the television that comes along, and then that's also a mass media broadcast tool that pushes content out, but you can't get that communication channel back. Then you have the telephone that is a two-way communication tool, but it's not mass media. It's very personal. It's one-to-one,
right.
Or one-to-a-few at best. And so with the internet, for the first time, you have both the mass media and the interpersonal communications that can happen at the same time. So it is really just a great, we're all trying to figure it out.
Right.
You know, how does that, what's that mean? How does that work?
And, how do we use it? Yeah.
And I mean, and no one, I mean, you know, we understand parts of it, but you know, it's, as we're evolving ourselves, I mean, everyone's trying to figure it out, but it just makes it so exciting.
It is exciting. It's very exciting. I want to talk about the, you mentioned the word broadcast, and we're going to get into these mistakes here in just a minute, I promise. So I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but you brought up the word broadcast, because most media has been a one-way broadcast, right? And the reason I got into internet marketing, 7 years ago, was because I was searching for a business to start, and I didn't really know what to do. And I started kind of poking around on the web and seeing what you could do with it, because it was, this was like 2001 or 2002,
mm-hmm. Yep.
And search engines were becoming the thing. You know,
right.
They were already the thing, right? People were using Google and Yahoo and MSN. Was MSN around even then? I don't remember.
Around 2002 it should have been, yeah.
So anyway, but the key to search engines is that they're a reverse broadcast system. People go to the engine and they type in their problem or their request for information,
mm-hmm.
And they're telling you, this is what I want, and there are tools online that you can measure how many people are typing in specific phrases, and it's advertising in reverse,
mm-hmm.
From what we're used to in business. And that was the appeal to me. I could find out that 100,000 people a month wanted to know about XYZ product.
Right.
Well, that might be a really interesting product to go find and
right.
sell then.
Right.
And so that was the appeal for me, and it's still true today, even more so.
Right.
We know more. Now it's not just search demand based on keywords. We can advertise based on demographics, like Facebook, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You can have display ads and drill down into what words are in people's profile. They
yep.
identify themselves as a Manchester United soccer fan.
Right.
And therefore, I can show them
right.
a Manchester United jersey in my ad. And,
right.
You know,
and a male between 21 and 35.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that lives in the United States. And
that's right.
It's amazing. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
So advertising, becomes kind of, it's never easy, but that's pretty easy.
Yeah, right.
So let's get into the mistakes, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Let's just get into the main topic. Well, big things I see, and we've got a couple. We both identified some things when we were talking earlier
mm-hmm.
about this. One of the big ones I see is, I got to tell you, I'm totally biased because I do this for a living, but not going online with your business. Like, it is so ripe for opportunity,
mm-hmm.
And whether it's not giving it time or attention or you're just scared to or whatever, I understand all those obstacles, I really do. I think you have to push through it and say, this probably makes sense on some level. I can hardly think of a business or professional that couldn't use it on some level.
Right, right.
To connect with customers or get new customers.
Yeah. I think there's, a dozen reasons not to get online that we come up with and that companies come up with to stay offline. And every day, those reasons are being eliminated.
Right.
Every day, there's new tools, there's new opportunities, new places to be that just really lowers the barrier for people to get online. New tools for, the tools that have been out for a while are just tools to be able to create your own website and get your basic content out there. And then you've got blogging came onto the scene, so you've got the ability to do blogging. You can have a presence on Twitter. You can have Facebook fan pages. Facebook fan pages, not only do you have your page where you can have all your information, but you've got the whole community right there. You've got your fans, people are commenting, given testimonials about your business right there.
Right.
As well as their advertising system is so simple to be able to get your page out in front of people who are your core audience. So I mean, all what used to be a bunch of separate pieces to try to fit together and put together, now it is really just knowing a few key resources and getting out there and doing it. And it's not that, you know, and that's not always the best answer and that the end answer for everyone, but it's a great starting point for a lot of people.
That is so true. When I first started in this, you had to have a website, you know?
Yeah,
that was a starting point. You had to have a website. That was a starting point, and that's a huge obstacle for, especially back then.
Right.
That was before the blogging platform was really readily available, or things like WordPress.
That's right.
So now you don't even need a website. I mean, you could have an online presence in 10 minutes, literally. Now, you might not have any followers in 10 minutes, but you could build the platform.
That's
right. You
could
go to Facebook, start a page, throw up an ad. You could throw up a WordPress blog really fast, right? And you could have a pay-per-click campaign set up in Google and have traffic within a half an hour.
That's right.
And that, I don't know, that's exciting to me.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And depending upon what you're looking at doing, some people they're not looking for a traditional brochure website anymore.
Yeah.
But they still want to have it be there. They want to have more interaction. And you don't need the programmers and the technical skills that you used to need to put together some of these complex tools.
That's right.
If you want to build a community-based site, there's any number of sites that allow you to do that. Either Ning is a really popular one. You could have set up your community for your site, customize it, and even have your own domain route to it. And you can do that in a matter of minutes. And get it set up. I guess it's a bit of an exaggeration to say in a matter of minutes.
Setting
it up is very quick, and customizing it can take as long as you want it to. But just the fact that these tools are out there. Just today I saw Google Pages, Google Places just launched today. And I think they're calling them Place Pages. But the idea is that it's basically an answer to what Yelp is doing. Yelp is a great place for businesses because it is where customers can give objective reviews to your business. It's become very important. It's going to come up at the very top of the search engine. So Google came up with...
So if someone in Colombia goes and searches Google for what?
Like Shakespeare's Pizza.
Okay.
So
pizza even.
Yeah, that's
right. Or would they have to search?
If I do a local search for pizza, then I might have a Yelp page come up
with
that gives me a profile of Shakespeare's, and then or different pizza places in Colombia, and then reviews and ratings on these pizza places.
Sure.
So it becomes these sites become very, this ecosystem of sites becomes very, not only provide great tools
right.
to get the word out, but also become very important.
Sure.
It's not a matter of you can do it, but it's also you really need to.
It becomes a point of credibility
as
the web develops and people become more mature users of the internet.
Right.
It's almost like, well, I don't see you in Google, so... what's wrong with your business, you know?
That's right.
And that's not always true, obviously. But certain industries, I could see where that would be a credibility issue.
Yeah, it very much could be.
Yeah. So, all really good points. And it brings me to the second, I think, biggest mistake I see, which, again, I totally get it, right? But just having a website, that's more of just a static brochure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not interactive. There's really no call to action. There's no effort to interact with customers and start or continue conversations. It's more like, here's my business, here's who I am. And if I'm there as a visitor, I'm going, okay, that's cool. What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You got about 5 seconds to convince me and then I'm out of here.
Right.
And I'm speaking kind of on the whole because statistically that's what we know. You have I think it's even less. What, 2 or 3 seconds to engage a visitor before they bounce?
Right. I'd say that sounds about right.
Yeah. So.
About how long my attention span is.
Right. Everything's just a fraction of a second away with one click. So.
Right.
It's a competitive environment.
Yeah. You know, I think that's really true. I think, you know, in the early days of the web, if you were a business and you had a website, then that was viewed as a great thing, and you're viewed as progressive and somewhat with it just by virtue of having a website. And that quickly went on to evolve to, you know, people having fancier websites or more engaging websites. And anymore, I think the key to the website is just really how well do you engage your users, and how well do you engage visitors to your site. And again, I go back to the fact that even if you're doing this website, if you're doing a website to not treat it as a one-way communication tool.
That's right.
Not just put it out there, because I think that when you do that today. Whereas 10 years ago, it was great to just have a website. Now today, if you do that same thing, then you're viewed as using the web as a broadcast tool when the web's not really just a broadcast tool.
Right, you're using it more like the traditional media.
That's right.
You know, like a TV ad or something.
Right.
Not that those aren't effective, but online.
Right.
I would say it's probably not effective, and certainly not as effective as it could be.
That's right. I think another mistake about people going online is I see them a lot of times when people don't a lot of times people will do things online just to be online, and I see a common mistake is just simply not being passionate about what you're doing online. And if when you're not passionate about what you're doing, that it really shows when you're online and you're trying to sustain a venture or really connect with your audience. And it's easy when you're just broadcasting, it's easy to have some glossy marketing and some glossy campaigns that kind of hide that. But online is much more transparent, and it's really and I think that sometimes it's easy to get out there and think that it doesn't matter what you're doing as long as you're out there, but I think that passion really, really shines through.
It really does. And if you're passionate about what you're doing, you're going to take the time to understand what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
and the tools and mediums that you're working in. And that's actually something I didn't intend to bring up as far as, you know, mistakes that I see, but that's a big one, and I've made that mistake. Something new and flashy comes out, and everybody's talking about it, and you want to jump in there and get started, and not understanding the state of mind that the user is in when they're
mm-hmm.
engaging you
yep.
through that, like whether it be through email or a Facebook post or just on your website. Or on your blog,
yep.
All four of those, the user's in a different state of mind.
Yep.
So you have to speak to them.
Yep.
Specific to the state of mind that they're in.
Yep.
So, and I've blown that, but I think that's a big key. Take the time to know what it is that's going on in that space, and then do it the effective way.
Yep.
So, all right. You know, we really shouldn't have to sell anybody on why it's important to be online. I think everyone kind of knows that now. But let's talk real quick about some of the big advantages of being online. I say that because when I talk to folks, most business owners that aren't actively pursuing internet marketing don't know all of the cool tips, tricks,
mm-hmm.
tools. I mean, there are some really cool things that you can do like never before in history, right?
That's right.
One of them we mentioned earlier was being able to measure demand for a product or service or, you know, information down to keyword specific phrases that are being typed into the search engines. I know I've talked to business owners in town that don't know that's an option.
Yep.
So
yep.
And it's free.
That's right.
Right? You can go to Google and use these tools.
Yep.
some more things.
Yeah, you know, advantages of being online. I think that, you know, is that when you get online, the playing field just becomes level.
Right.
We all have, you know, we all have different resources, but when we're and we can use those differently, but we can all, everyone has a voice online, and everyone has the same tools to broadcast them and to talk to people online, and which makes it just incredible. I, you know, there's a case in point. There's a popular, very popular sites are dating sites.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of dating sites out there, and they're all, some of them have a lot of funding, some of them are, you know, big business
right.
sites. So there's one site out there called Plenty of Fish. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have heard of that.
So Plenty of Fish is now got millions of users and has generating at one point it got a check from their ads generated $1 million in a month.
Wow.
It's run by one guy who created it as a student project while he was at the university.
Wow.
And I believe to this day it's still run by just one guy. So the it's amazing what you can do online, and the level playing field that it is, that he can, that one guy can go head to head with major corporations.
Right. It's amazing. I call him a friend. He's more of a mentor and a guy that I've paid as a coach to teach me some things about online tools and everything. I know he runs a business, and they're doing $6.5 million a year, and it's himself and three employees.
It's
amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing to know that you can scale to that amount. That amount.
Right. So scalability is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I'm actually pretty passionate about is continuous optimization. And what you can do online, you know, the ability to put something out online, whether it be an advertisement or an offer or a product or even just a question to your marketplace, and get immediate real-time feedback, and then go back to the drawing board and say, okay, let's tweak this, change that, fix this, go do it again, come back to the drawing board, fix. And sometimes within a matter of hours or days or weeks or whatever the case is, you can double, triple, quadruple, 10x results, right?
Yep.
It's amazing. And there are, again, free tools to do this kind of thing where you can set up tests. You know, one group of customers sees version A of an ad. Another group sees version B.
Yep.
And sometimes within hours, I can have an ad. I can know which ad is going to pull in more customers and more revenue.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's amazing. And, you know, I should say something. He says that it sounds like a, you know, we talk about these things. You and I, we work on these things all the time. And it sounds, and to, you know, to us, it's no big deal to set up a couple tests and do all this. And to other folks, it might seem like, wow, that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, first, you know, it might not even, you know, you might not be advertising. And then to think of that, doing different ads and testing them.
Right.
It sounds like a lot of work. And honestly, it's really not. And one of the great things about it is that there, so much of the time you're spending so much effort in trying to figure out what's the absolute best thing to do and where
right.
should you put your resources and in which ad or which campaign you should do. And it's, and really, in reality, the best thing to do is just do something.
Right.
And get it, and you don't have to make that decision anymore right up front. You can do a couple of different things, see which ones look like they work the best, and you don't need a lot of feedback to make those decisions. I saw basically some a test on usability and feedback, and basically between about 6 to 9 people is when you start getting feedback from about 6 to 9 people starts to give you your accurate trends. To accurate feedback to what you really make a good decision, and so you really don't need that much feedback.
That's right.
Either, and so this is it's really easy stuff to do, and it really is.
And I gotta say, jokingly and serious, if it were hard work, I probably wouldn't do it because I like shortcuts. I mean, frankly, I like shortcuts. Show me the fastest way to get it done. take the guesswork out of it for me, because usually when I predict what a customer or a prospect has in mind, I'm oftentimes wrong, and I'd rather just ask them. And they'll tell you.
That's
you
it.
Know, test results will tell you. You don't have to guess, and I just love that about it, you know. I found that to be true even down to whether, for example, I'm going to make this up because I work for SoccerPro.com, and I'm not going to give out competitive intelligence in case our competitors are listening. I don't think they ever will, but just in case. So let's say someone's searching for basketballs versus basketball.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. One of them's more profitable with an S or without.
Wow.
Okay. You know, people wouldn't assume that, but there's a different intent behind that keyword search.
Right.
In the search engines, and one's a profitable word and one is not.
How
so
about that?
You can figure these things out with testing really easy online. So,
anyway. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, it really kind of changes the paradigm of ready, aim, fire to ready, fire, aim.
That's right.
And to get something out there and change your strategy. It you know, just one more quick example that always comes to my mind when I talk to people about this is that a lot of time Amazon, when they release a new feature, they don't have a focus group or a test audience that they put these things out to. They just put it out to a random number of people on their website, live on their website, and so for a period of time, and then if it works, they find that they look at the metrics and how people are using the tool. If it works, they leave it out there. If not, they pull it. And
really?
That's how they do their user testing.
Wow.
They just do live user testing.
There you go.
It's, if it works for them.
That's cool. Yeah, I think they know something.
Yeah.
That I don't. okay, what else? We talked about reverse broadcasting and scalability. We've talked a little bit about metrics, because that's implied in these other concepts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to measure your return on investment, really, in all aspects of your marketing.
Yeah.
The numbers are there, you know?
Yeah, that's right. You know, this is another area where we just, you know, in traditional advertising, traditional marketing, we just didn't have this kind of consistent feedback on how people are interacting with our message, how people are interacting with our marketing, our ads, our products and everything that we put out there for them. And now they're just in many ways there's we feel like there's too much information. But
right.
But when you get the right information and you know what you're looking for, it's just it's just unbelievable to be able to see what people are actually doing, what they actually value, and then being able to then adapt and change to be able to communicate with them more effectively.
That's right. There are obviously tools where you can, and again, I want to stress, these tools are free.
Yep.
Google offers a lot of these tools for free. There are some paid versions of these tools as well, but let's give folks an idea of some of the things you actually can measure online.
Yeah.
Okay. The first one we talked about is search demand. How many people are looking for my product or my service?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
What else do we have? How many people opened my email? How many people clicked on the link in the email?
Yep.
How many of those people went on to buy the product?
Right.
How many people clicked on the ad versus didn't click on it? How many people are on the site, and what pages they're going to, and how long they're spending on a page, and where they came from, and where they went to afterwards. You know, it's incredible.
Yep. Yeah, you can. It is. It's amazing. You can set. You know, you can get more complex and find out how they navigate through your site. You can set up different. You know, like you mentioned. I mean, you mentioned there's all these simple things. You know, where people are coming from, where they're searching. But the more complex, where you set up some funnels and you find out, you know, how they move through your site to get from point A to point B. Which steps do they take? Which steps do they skip? Where do they leave? Why do they leave? And you can just learn an immense amount about their behavior and what they're looking for and what you thought they were looking for, but they're really not.
And this is key, because when you find out where they're getting hung up, you can fix it, right?
That's right.
And then maximize whatever goal it is you have online. If it's
Yeah, I remember one of the simplest stories I usually tell people to illustrate some of the value of these metrics is talking to the director of internet marketing for Sprint back in 1999,
wow.
And he was talking about how he goes, yeah, we have metrics and we can find out what people are clicking on before they leave our site. Where are they leaving our site? And one by one, we find out the number one place where they're clicking to leave our site. We remove it
and they take it off.
Yeah, take it off.
You can't leave here.
You can't leave that. Can't leave through there anymore. One by one, they work through those until they obviously need to optimize other areas. But
sure,
some of it is as simple as that.
That's right. And it's interesting you mentioned Sprint because you talked about a level playing field before. The corporate gatekeepers no longer have a hold on small businesses or individuals. It used to be that the kind of market intelligence that we now have access to for free was only reserved for those with deep pocketbooks, right?
That's right.
Big corporations, it's not true anymore.
That's right.
It's for everybody.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
It is. It really is. I mean, you see, you know, individual bloggers with millions of followers. You see people with just their Twitter account alone that, you know, you may have never heard of them before. They have thousands or hundreds of thousands of people who are following them, and these are guys and girls who have a voice. They're passionate about what they do, and they're providing value to their customers. And you don't have to have these big funds to use these tools to be able to compete with some of the big guys.
I know. I love it. That's one of the most appealing things to me.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's talk real quick about some of the more popular revenue models online, and hopefully we can just shed some light on the ways that small businesses can leverage the internet to get customers and make more money and all that good stuff, build relationships. So the obvious one is I have a product. You know, I mentioned basketballs earlier. I want to sell more basketballs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's good news. You can do that globally now pretty easily. You don't just need a brick-and-mortar store anymore. So e-commerce would be probably the biggest application of that. I've done e-commerce since day one, and pretty much I think that's all I've ever done when it comes to online marketing. It's always been e-commerce related. Kind of where my specialty is, but there are other models. You've done mostly software.
That's right. I've done mostly software as a service, and which is basically a subscription model.
Mm-hmm.
There's a licensing. Basically, they license the software for you on a monthly, through paying a subscription on a monthly basis, and so they get to use the software that you host.
So you've worked with a lot of software service models. Other models that come to mind are the information model, which, I don't know statistically, but my guess is selling information online, information products, is probably where most of the revenue is flowing. I don't know for sure. Well, I would exclude, I don't know, even Google selling information, really. They're a $15 billion company.
Right.
Most of their revenue comes from ad space, which is a form of selling information.
Right.
Solutions.
Yep.
What are you seeing in that regard?
Yeah, I think you see it's a tough space if it's you're building a content based site. There's lots of different ways to sell information, and everyone, obviously we know the state of the newspaper industry, so everyone's trying to figure this out. And, do you go with micropayments? Do you try to stick it out with advertising? When advertising's internet advertising, people are decreasing their budgets for that. And it's a really hard space to figure out. But I think what's neat about it is you start seeing a lot of creative solutions come about. You see
That's right.
you see individual bloggers who are who've built up a good audience, who are decided that they will take on sponsorships. They'll have different people can sponsor a month of blog of their blogging. John Gruber is an example of that, and Zay Frank did that with the show. And some other Ask a Ninja was it's a very funny blog, and the people, their viewers love it, and so they're willing to sponsor it by giving it's micro sponsorships of $5, $10, $25, $50 at a time. But when you got a big audience, that really adds up.
It does. I should backpedal a little bit, because I said I think there's a lot of money flowing around in the information sector of the web, and that might sound crazy to some people, because there are some information sources that are struggling, like news outlets. What are they going to do online to monetize their content? I was speaking more specifically about things that are problem solution oriented models.
Sure.
I got into the web because I bought a $49 ebook in 2001. About how to build a Yahoo shopping store.
Okay.
And the Yahoo Shopping Network.
Yeah.
And since then, I was adding this up the other day, I've spent close to $10,000 on educational materials that were information only. I mean, there was some interaction with some of those products, like a coaching program that went beyond just a book or a DVD, and I got on the phone with the guy. But that's a ton of money for information that came from an online source.
Yeah.
At least for my pocketbook,
right.
There's a lot of money. So, but those people had solutions to problems that I had, and I needed a solution then.
That's right.
That's
right. And I think, I think that is, I think that's one of the greatest sources and one of the greatest ideas for revenue, one of the greatest sources of it. And it's one of the most natural too, because most of these information pieces, most of the our information products are created by things that we're already doing. It's knowledge that we already have, and it's based on our expertise that and it's expertise that people need. I think one of the reasons I'm excited about that is because anyone can do it.
That's right, anyone can.
It's not that it's easy, and that's not why anyone can do it, but everyone's got their area of expertise. And I think of 37 Signals in this regard. 37 Signals started out as a web design consultancy, and they built up a pretty popular following with their Signal versus Noise blog. And so they have these thousands of people coming to their blog, and so over time they found different ways to generate revenue from this content that they've been using to serve their customers. But now they can make money in other ways, so other byproducts of their knowledge. And one of the first ways they did it is they developed a State of the Business on the Web report. And I don't remember the exact name of it, but they developed a report, an information product. They sold it for $79, and they sold well over 1,000 of them.
So they built 1,000 copies at $79 a pop.
Yeah.
And once they created it, it was done. No more overhead.
There aren't any more overhead.
Digital product.
It was all digital download and digital sales. They also took that. They then went on to take that knowledge to. They wrote a book about defensive web design, and then as their audience grew, they realized, wow, we've got a lot of business-minded programmers and designers come to our website. Wouldn't it be great if we could hook them up with other companies that need these kinds of people? So they might be looking for jobs, or they might be need to fill positions. So they started a job board. And then they started an advertising network in conjunction with some other folks, and so they offer some very targeted advertising. So overall, what they did is they also have put on seminars where they share the same information. So again, that's not an internet-based business, but the same idea. The whole idea is that they were successful about what they did with their customers. So they found other ways to package that online,
sure,
and then reoffer it in another form. And these information products are a great way to do that.
They really are. They're amazing. So we talked about selling content, selling hard goods. A lot of people just sell services and want to do mm-hmm. lead generation online.
Yep.
It's fantastic for lead generation. Obviously, we talked about being able to measure demand and have demographic data and all these things. So for lead gen, you can have very targeted ads, very targeted traffic, very problem solution targeted traffic, what we call highly qualified.
You know, it really is a great, I think it really is a great business opportunity for a lot of people out there, because you still have these companies who have great services who need customers, and you have customers who need these services. And so it really, I view lead generation as a really great opportunity for someone who's got just the inclination and the desire to go out there and match these two up. And it's go out and build a website and get it optimized and get people coming into it and hook them up with these people who are providing these services. And it's just really a neat, I think it's just a neat opportunity for people who, they're not the ones that have the ability or the inclination to provide the service, but they're good at hooking people up.
Yeah. Well, so if you have the service or not, lead generation can still work.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, okay. So,
I might mention one more.
Sure.
You know, for me, the end. There's all these different models for building revenue online, but for me, it's just, the key thing is really just getting out there and doing something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the ability to find revenue for that is going to come along. I mean, I mentioned that with 37 Signals, with some of these bloggers. I think about other companies like Threadless, a Skinny Corporation, a Skinny Corp out of Chicago. They found that they're really good at building these communities of designers. And so what they decided to do is they decided, well, gosh, why don't we embrace what we're good at and sell T-shirts, and that are community-based, community-designed T-shirts that where someone designs it and it's voted on by the community and they're sold. And within just a few years, I can't remember, I think it was maybe 2007 that I read that they did, they grossed $60 million in revenues from Threadless. And that
wow.
was... So this is a handful of designers that were good at community, and they decided to do what they're good at to sell something as simple as T-shirts.
Sure.
The College Humor guys, what are they good at? They're good at lowbrow humor.
Right.
And I mean, it's it's not necessarily a site you go and you send to your mom too much, but
right.
it's they got some they're funny guys, and they do some really silly stuff. And so, what do they do? Is they come up with busted tees. Again, it's the T-shirt concept.
Right.
It's something very simple as that, and it's lowbrow T-shirts.
Sure.
And I mean, it's that it fits with what they do. Their
uh-huh.
audience is, they've already got an audience, and it just makes sense. And I think that really can translate into it through a lot of people. I see, T-shirt shops are really popular, and maybe there's too many of them now, but there's things like that. And there's what's really cool, too, is that you don't have to go and get a building and get a bunch of T-shirt equipment and learn how to silk screen or screen print or whatever on your shirt. That there are so many fulfillment houses out there now.
That's right.
That if you wanted to start a T-shirt shop, you could go to Spreadshirt and set up a store today. All you have to do is upload your design. You can go to Cafe Press and sell almost anything. If you want to sell images, if you're a photographer, it's so easy to sell your photographs on canvas or large, large prints or
yeah.
framed prints and have it drop shipped to your customer, through any number of storefronts.
That's so amazingly true. And I'm a little bit humored right now because you reminded me of how I got started, and I told you I started this store. I bought this book about Yahoo Shopping Network stores. And so I built a store, or I wanted to build a store. I had no product whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about being passionate and whatnot. And I grew up riding ATVs, four-wheelers, you know. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll find something in that market. And I did a little keyword research, and it seemed pretty wide open as far as competition. But I had no product. I couldn't go out and build a, you know,
inventory.
5,000 square foot showroom floor and stock ATVs and all this crazy stuff.
Right.
It cost me millions of dollars, right? Literally, to do.
Yeah.
And there's just no way I could have pulled it off. But I found some guy out in California that was making custom seat covers, really cool stuff like flames and all this wacky stuff on these seat covers that guys that are really into this think are cool. And I picked up the phone and I was like, hey man, I got this store. Wondered if I sent you orders, if you'd make the covers and ship them for me. And he was like, sure. And that's how it all started.
Wow.
It was that easy.
Yep.
And my first office was on a computer table that was about the size of a TV tray.
Yep.
In my closet in our spare bedroom.
That's awesome.
And I could close the closet doors and my office was invisible.
That's awesome.
And that was my business.
Yep.
So it's funny, I still have a picture of that somewhere, I should get it out. But and so I was competing with everyone else.
That's right.
That had big warehouses with my little closet office, you know.
That's right.
So that's really what it's come to.
Yeah. Well, there's there's a story about the high school girl who, you know, is making $500,000 a year on selling MySpace backgrounds.
Wow.
MySpace layouts. And I mean, it's just, there's just, you know, when you sit and do something that, again, I mean, she probably wasn't thinking about making money when she started it.
Right.
But she found something she's passionate about, and there's usually, if you're really passionate about something, there's probably an audience for it.
Right, right.
Not always. But.
So here's the thing. It's obvious, right? Lots of opportunity online. It's very much, I use the analogy, it's very much like the Wild West still. You know, there's uncharted territory and unclaimed lands out there, and you just need to go put your stake in the ground. But it's scary at the same time. What would you say to folks as far as, you know, you're a small business, you know there's opportunity there, you want to try it, maybe you have tried it and it didn't work out so well. What do you do?
Yeah, you know it is hard because, I mean, we sit and we talk about this stuff and how excited we are and how, you know, and very optimistic and go get them, and there's all this opportunity and money to be made. And but, you know, there's still a lot of bad ideas. I've had a lot of them.
Yeah, me too.
they don't all, not everything flies. There's a lot of hard work in the execution. I think some of the big things are, you know, picking something where the audience really isn't that big. And it's easy to get a great idea and go out and spend a lot of time and sometimes a lot of money on building up a presence and trying to sell something where the audience really just isn't that, there isn't just that much demand for it.
Right.
And I think, and that still happens, that happens every day, and, you know, and it's going to continue to happen. But I think there's a lot of ways to minimize that these days.
Right.
I think that you can do a lot of testing, a lot of, like you were talking a little bit earlier about some of the testing that you can do to gauge interest or gauge the effectiveness of different campaigns. You know, before you even have a product to offer someone, get out there and advertise that product. And place some ads for it to see if anyone's even clicking on the ads. And if no one's clicking on those ads, you probably shouldn't sell the product. But if people do click on them, then instead of that shows they wanted it, get some more feedback from them.
Right.
Collect some of that feedback and decide to narrow that focus on what it is that you want to do.
Right.
Before you go out and invest in a bunch of product and invest in a store to put these online. As cheap as we say, you know, you can do some of these things, but there's the real cost and, you know, opportunity cost too, and the amount of time you spend on these and where it's going to not lead anywhere.
That's right. I guess there's two ways to approach it. One is you already have a business, you already have a product, and you know how to sell it offline.
Yeah.
So what I tell people is take that same process and replicate it online as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and specifically, there are a few more objections when you're dealing with someone online and trying to sell something, but for the most part, if they object to a product offline, they probably have the same objections online, so you have to overcome those. It's all part of sales, right?
Right.
So then we're talking about maybe starting a new business or a new concept too, where
right.
you're not really sure you're not even sure the product's viable yet.
That's right.
But you can get immediate feedback and figure that out. So
that's right. Yeah, that really is good to make that distinction. It really is two different approaches. And if we're talking about that latter one, just the new business idea, you want to get something out there. It's just really great. There's really a lot of ways to be able to test the market before you really go jump in with everything you got.
Yeah.
You know, even just starting to blog about it for a while before you start selling something to see if people are interested in your blog and your content you're creating.
Yeah.
And I think the key principle that I like to follow talk to people about with that is just invest as little as you can on infrastructure and inventory before you gauge feedback. So if there's processes that you could automate with software, that's a great thing to do, but hold off as much as possible until you know exactly what it is you're trying to do.
Right.
Or you could be spending a lot of money trying to build something that you might not want to use.
Right, that's right. Similar to the concept of just get the first sale.
Yeah, exactly.
Sell something, you know.
Exactly.
And build it up later.
A lot of successful companies that I know of are, you know, I hear stories about Amazon that they're talking about, you know, they're going around plugging cables in and running around. They're talking about just the madness it was going around plugging cables in to keep things going when, you know, they had these orders coming through because they're worried about first getting customers before they worry about building out this big architecture. And,
right.
There's a company called Second Market. And the ability to this is obviously a more complex business than your average person's gonna do. I'd never be able to do it myself, but the ability to sell private shares of stocks within privately held companies, as well as other illiquid assets, and before they started, and you could think of, okay, yeah, you can build software to do that, build an auction system or a storefront to do that kind of stuff. Their goal is to build up a customer base before they built a single line of code.
Sure.
And as soon as they realized they could do the business, then they could translate it online.
Right.
And then that maybe is a good segue into kind of the second type of moving online that you mentioned.
If you already have a product.
Right. I mean, you already have a business.
You know, that's true. If you already have a business and you know how to sell your product or service, in my opinion, the hardest part is done, okay? Because the hardest part of internet marketing is the marketing. When I sit down at my computer every day and try and, you know, muster up the next plan to grow Soccer Pro,
mm-hmm.
the hardest part is not figuring out some piece of software or, you know, some advertising medium. It's like, what is the most effective marketing message going to be to get into the mind of the prospect and convert them to a customer?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in business and you have a successful business, you've done that already.
You have.
So online marketing should be even easier for you. I mean, so I would encourage businesses to give it a shot. And I don't think in some ways it's going to get easier. We talked about earlier things that have gotten easier, like being able to just have an online presence has gotten tremendously easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think the longer you wait, it gets tougher because there's a certain learning curve to doing everything online. And
right.
the longer you put that off, the more information grows and information online about how to do X, Y, and Z seems to grow exponentially on a daily basis.
Yeah, right.
There's constantly more noise and more options.
Yeah.
And I think the quicker you jump in the water, the better off you're going to be.
Getting out there, getting your feet wet.
And just try something.
Yeah. You know, the earlier you get in and the more, I mean, you might not even realize it, but you may end up becoming an expert in your field and not even know it the earlier that you get in.
That's very true.
Just because you were there first.
That's very true.
There's a lot of opportunities there. And you know, if you've got an existing business, then your goal is to, if you move online, a lot of times your goal is to make to translate that business online. And it might not always be a one-to-one transfer. It might not always be, the way that you bring in revenue online might not be the same way that you do it through your traditional business. Maybe you have if you have a services business offline, then maybe it's taking the expertise and then translating that into content mm-hmm. online,
yeah.
And then selling that. Or if you're into retail, maybe you do want to sell some of your retail online. Bring your retail business online, but maybe also part of it is just reviews and content that you want to monetize through advertising. So there's doesn't always have to be a one-to-one transfer. And I think that's I've seen just companies kind of think that if I do this offline, then I need to do the same thing online. But
yeah.
I think even if you're not looking to generate revenue online, it's just having a clear strategy
right.
of what you want to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Because if there's lots of things that you can do online that simply strengthen your offline business. And if that obviously it's just a wonderful goal. That
sure.
Maybe you don't want to make a dime online.
Right.
But you want to do strengthen the communications between your existing customer base.
Right.
You want to establish more customers, bring in more customers to come to your store or to your concert or to your venue.
Right.
Or to your restaurant. And people are finding ways to talk to people about your restaurant, to get stuff out there. Every day I get an announcement for Uprise Bakery on what breads they have baked today.
Right.
And every now and then I get an announcement from Shakespeare's Pizza telling me they have $1.50 slices for lunch.
Yeah, and I get those Shakespeare's emails.
Yeah,
which
emails.
Are fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
Kudos to Shakespeare.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
How are you finding out about Uprise Bakery? Is it through Twitter?
Through Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah. Sycamore Restaurants on Twitter. A lot of the major restaurants. Bengals Bar and Grills on there.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the, and they've got all. And what's smart too is, a lot of the, Facebook fan pages. They built in the automatic, and whenever you post a message, you can have it automatically post to Twitter.
Right.
And so you don't have to do them both. And so most of the things that I click on from Uprise. Or actually come from Facebook. So not only do they get me through Twitter, but they get me to their Facebook page where
right.
I then became a fan.
Sure.
And then I can see who else is our customers and interact with them and see some of my friends on there and comment. And
yeah.
I'm now more engaged with Uprise Bakery than I ever have been.
Right, and they have what all businesses want, which is top of mind share
yeah.
with you.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the scalability and leverage we talked about earlier.
Yep.
If they were to try to build that any other way, I would guess it would be nearly impossible.
No, it'd be, yeah, seriously. And with the tools they're using, although they can scale it, like you said, in no other way, it still feels very personal.
It is personal.
And, when it's sitting and it's pouring down rain outside and I see a tweet come up from a Poppy Gallery that says, come in right now for mention Twitter and get 20% off an umbrella.
Nice.
And I'm like, okay. That's pretty clever. And if I were close to downtown, I probably would have gone down there.
That's right.
But, things like that. That, I mean, it's being relevant to your audience in a personal way, but also on a mass level. So we kind of got back.
Yeah.
Back to square one, huh?
That's right, we did. So, I just want to thank you for your time today, Jamie. You and I have been talking about helping some local businesses get their arms around these topics for a while. So it's really exciting to do this interview, and I hope people find it valuable. And Jamie and I have also talked about, it feels weird saying Jamie and I because you're sitting here in front of me. I'm looking at the microphone now, talking into it. But we've talked about putting out some other resources, maybe some little short training videos on various topics because, well, at least for myself, I'm not a video guy, really not even an educator, but I'm going to try and teach some people a few tricks. Anything you're thinking of?
Yeah, you know, I use a lot of tools, online tools, to run my own business, as well as my consulting business. And I, one of the things I'm interested in is finding out what's the state of my industry like. So, like, for instance, I do scheduling software. What's going on in the scheduling software world? And so how can I spy on that world? And how can I spy on my competitors? And how can I spy on myself? How can I get all this information that keeps me up to date on a daily basis, where I don't have to go out and scour the web myself, but I can bring all that in? So I've got a few things set up where I can do that. And so every morning I just pop open a browser, get into Google Reader, which is the tool that I use to do this, and it shows me updates in all of these areas, and I can keep up to date and just at a glance, and not have to spend a lot of time doing it.
Cool. Well, so pretty soon we'll be pushing those out into cyberspace.
Yep.
So thanks for being here today, Jamie, and doing this interview. Great conversation.
No, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
We should have talked about booked a little bit more, I guess. I want you to be able to tell people about that and what you have going on there. Do you mind mentioning that real quick?
What
is booked?
Yeah, you know, booked is it's an online self-booking system. So if you're a small business and you make appointments with your customers for the services that you offer, such as you're an accountant or a massage therapist or a hair salon or a photographer, then you can set up a little site and list your services and your availability, and your customers can come schedule an appointment and pay for it online. And
yeah.
So then there's a tool that you can manage all those bookings on the back end, and just a simple tool to keep your appointments organized.
Yeah, simple and very cool, and you've gotten some national attention.
Yeah, I've
on the product.
I have. I've gotten some good press, some
yeah,
good national
some good
press
and blogs and
yep.
and things.
And I've been excited about that and some interest and working with some now some national level partners. Some exciting things
very
going
cool.
on.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
On that. So, thanks again, and thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll talk soon.
Yep. Thanks, Travis.